So welcome back to a new episode of Lock It or Leave It. Great episode again with another special guest, former FSU guard. He graduated. Now he's a great player overseas. When we get back, we'll talk to the CEO, the founder and the creator of Big Guard University brand, and we'll get to know him a little more. But David Nichols, be right back. All right, so we are back, and let's just introduce ourselves. I'm your host, Jay, and as usual, I'm joined with my co-host, Cam. What's going on, man?
What's up, Jay? Yeah, I'm just having a good time right now. Lightning are on TV. We got playoff basketball. There's just a lot going on, a lot of exciting sports, and I'm ready to get into this episode.
Yeah, and then we also have Aaron. He's hyped up. The Lightning won. They're up 3-0 in this series. Aaron, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. It's no secret I'm a huge Lightning fan, so very excited to see the progress they've made this season. Looking like they're going to win back-to-back. And I think the Milwaukee Bucks are about to go to the finals tonight, so that'll be interesting to see as well. So very excited to see what happens in the next few days.
Yeah, and then introducing our special guest, David Nichols. He helped us go to the Sweet 16 in 2018-2019. How are you, man? Thanks for joining.
I'm good. Just in Chicago with family. Working out, relaxing. So glad to be
good
on.
Good stuff. Who do you, quick take, who do you have tonight? Do you have the Bucks or the Hawks?
Is Trae Young out?
Probably.
Yeah, I think there's no Trae Young and no Giannis still.
I think Atlanta wins at home, and then if they're both out again, the Bucks win at home.
Gotcha. All right, so let's just start off. Aaron, if you want to take it.
Yeah, so you went to university at Albany prior to coming to FSU. What made you pick FSU over some of the other schools you were looking at? And, you know, coming from a mid-major to a P5, what were some big differences and maybe even similarities between the two that you noticed throughout your journey?
I chose FSU because it was a chance to win. Just looking at the roster they had, what they lost and what they needed, like it was kind of a perfect fit. So, I mean, I feel like I fit the system how they wanted to play. I felt like I could play like that, even though the system at Albany was different. I think it suited my game. So I was able to adapt with that. And then Coach Gates, being a Chicago guy, helped a lot. Like after the first phone call with him, it felt like that's the school I was going to go to, you know, it was a much longer process than that. And I mean, it's a lot of differences, the travel, the meal plans, the organization. Like Florida State operates, and if you ask the NBA guys, it operates like an NBA team. And I mean, coming from a mid-major with not a larger of a budget, mostly a bus school, a busing conference to charter flights, you know, that kind of deal was a major difference. And then, of course, the on-the-court stuff, the athleticism of the ACC, the speed of the game, the styles of play, so things like that.
So you're kind of one of the poster boys for Big Guard University. How did that come about, and when did it become such a big brand?
It's been said, of course, like everyone has said it over the years. A lot of guys have said it in the past. And then with our team, it was really within our team, me and Trent Forrest, I feel like that's what, like, just started saying it a lot in practice. And then, like, it just carried throughout the team, like, even with the coaches, C.Y. Gates, even those guys, you know, saying big guard, big guard, big guard. And then it just fit the style of play, like, because we have no true bigs unless you're like a Chris Kumaje, or a guy with just great size like that, pretty much 1-4, anybody can initiate the offense and run the point. And then you got guys, you see like Scotty Barnes coming in, definition of a big guard, and then it worked both ways, because then you got Trent Forrest going up dunking on people like how he dunked on Jordan Warren. So it kind of fit perfectly. If you want to see how former Florida State players are doing, rather be overseas in Israel like Brian Angola, or in NBA like Terrence Mann, or even down in South America and in Uruguay, like Al Thornton is still playing. So, I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like an alumni network within itself and also a brand. So hopefully trying to keep this going as long as I can. And if it, you know, if it becomes like too much where I can't do this and play basketball, maybe I'll hand it off to somebody or a couple guys who come on later. You know what I'm saying? So I just want to keep it going as long as possible.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm glad you mentioned the Trent Forrest dunk, because we were there for that game. I absolutely remember that moment where the tuck was shaking. Jordan and Wara were still, we're sorry. He was put into a casket that night, man. I just, oh my goodness. Because just like a little peek into what I was thinking when it happened, he got the steal. He was going down the court. And you know, I feel like in basketball, I can't dunk, so I don't know this, but if you're going to dunk on somebody, there has to become a point where you both look at each other and you both have to realize, like, okay, I'm going to try to dunk, and the other guy's going to be like, okay, I'm going to try to block this, you know? You both have to come to that realization, like, we're going to meet at the rim. And he still got yammed on, man. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of that situation. The tuck was absolutely shaking. But, yeah, Cam, take it away.
Yeah, going off that, we've had several special players come on this podcast, all from Florida State. Sadar Calhoun, in fact, actually said playing in the tuck makes him feel like he could beat an NBA team sometimes. Do you have a specific memory from playing in the Tucker Center that you'd like to talk about from your season?
The Louisville game and then senior night, I think it was against Virginia Tech. Just two crazy comebacks where we're down like 15 and then you snap your fingers and we're up somehow. And the crowd's going crazy. And it's just what it's like playing in a tuck. And also the Purdue game, I think they were beating us the whole game. And then like that, in the last 2 minutes, we came back and won on a Trent Forrest shot. It's just like, you never feel like you're going to lose, like at home playing in the tuck. So those three games were the most memorable for me, because other teams are up, you know, they're up, they're jumping, they're high five, and they're going crazy on the bench. And we're just calm, because, you know, like, it's just something. It's like, we're never worried. Like, we never think we're going to lose at home. Like, it's just, it's something special about it.
So the 2019 ACC tournament, we have a huge matchup with number two UVA. You lead the team scoring with 14 points. We go in there and get a win. What was it like to turn up on that big stage and beat the eventual national champions from that year?
I mean, in hindsight, it was an even bigger game. Like, just because they went on and win a national championship and we were the last team to beat them. And then just getting us to the championship was a huge accomplishment for us after a crazy game against Virginia Tech. So, I mean, it was satisfying in a way. You know, you play everybody. It's going to be somebody else's night, like every other game at Florida State. Like, you might go off for 15 one game, the next game you might score two, but as long as you're winning, nobody cares. So to be the guy to kind of help push us over the edge and help us win was just satisfying, just doing that for the coaches and for my teammates. So that was the best part about it for me, just the fact that we won and got there, and just the team success of it all.
Yeah, man. So I love basketball, and I don't play professionally. But when I do get the chance to play basketball, I don't like to fuck around. I like to hoop. You know, I want to get a good run in, because I don't often get to play. And the highest level of basketball that I play happens to only be outside on a cement court. But for basketball players, you guys dream of being able to play at the highest level and compete. With that being said, could you give us an inside look at that journey to the Sweet 16 in that season that you were at FSU?
I mean, yeah, like you said, playing, it's nothing like playing on the highest level and just being successful on the highest level. Because, you know, this is the cream of the crop. These are the best guys. These are the best guys in the country, especially playing in the ACC that year. We were stacked, and our schedule was loaded. We played so many ranked teams. Like, every time I turned on an NBA game, it's somebody we played against in college. So, I mean, that's the another reason why I transferred to play at the highest level. Like, those opportunities don't come at every school. So when you have those opportunities, I think you have to take them. And for me, it was a great decision. Just being exposed to that level of basketball, and then from going from there to my rookie season overseas, the competition honestly was probably better than the ACC for me, just because you're going against NBA guys as opposed to guys in a lower level overseas league. Obviously, you progress overseas, it's going to get much, much tougher than the ACC, but I think it really prepared me for that, and that's why I was able to have such a good rookie season.
So we had Terrence Mann on the podcast like a couple months ago, I think. What's your relationship with him like, and how has it been like to watch him absolutely been balling in the playoffs, especially against that when he had 39 against the Jazz in that crucial game six?
Me and T-Man are close. We got close. We were roommates on the road my year at Florida State. Kind of just like really out of nowhere, because I didn't talk to him much on my visit. You know, it's 17, 18 guys. You try to introduce yourself, you know. He wasn't my host. So I don't know how that relationship started, but it's been a great friendship, a great relationship, kind of out of nowhere. He's from the Northeast, and I went to school in the Northeast. So we had that in common. You know, I didn't grow up there, but I knew what it was like there, and he grew up there. So that's really when we kind of hit it off. And then just watching him in the playoffs has been great, just seeing how useful he is, and just him watching him establish himself as an NBA player who's going to be playing the game at a high level for pretty much as long as he wants to. If things keep going the way they're going. And then that closeout game against the Jazz, getting the Clippers to the first Western Conference Finals in team history. Like after the game, you know, you're walking through the tunnel, everybody's chanting his name. Like, it was kind of crazy. It's kind of surreal.
Yeah. Quick note on that, man. I was watching the Clippers YouTube channel, and on the Clippers YouTube channel, they do like a mini movie for a bunch of games. And they had Terrence Mann, and he was talking about when Kawhi was out. And he said in the morning, Ty Lue at breakfast just walked by him and said, "Hey, T-Man, you're starting." And he was like, all right, I like it. And you could just see him getting that mental, just lock in. And he had to know from that early. He said, you know what? It's a whole other mindset knowing that I'm going to have to get more minutes. I'm going to have to put my productivity up, seeing that. But what he was wearing was a Big Guard University hoodie, and that's how I first took notice of the brand. So that was really cool to me.
So after you graduated from FSU, you signed with Ammonia Nicosia over in Cyprus. What's it been like playing overseas? How big of an adjustment has it been? Has there been problems with the language barrier, maybe different schemes and coaching styles? And what's that whole experience been like for you?
I mean, that's the question I always get. Like, how do you talk to them? I mean, I don't think people realize how much American culture has impact on the world, and especially people aged like 35 and under. Everybody speaks English. Everywhere you go, everyone speaks English. The only people that don't speak English are maybe like the senior citizens, but there's no real language barrier. All my teammates in both places I've been and spoken English, the coaches speak English, the fans speak English, people working at the stores speak English. So, I mean, and they know what's going on in America. So it's not like, you know, you're going into some foreign lands where, you know, you're going to have to need a translator with you at all times. Like, everyone pretty much speaks English. The style of basketball is a lot different. So, I mean, that's probably the biggest adjustment. But once you get comfortable, you're fine. Once you figure out what your coaches want from you, you're fine. Once you figure out how to play within a system, you're fine. And switching systems in college, I think, helps me prepare for that as well, because you have to relearn everything very fast. I had a year at Florida State, and I had 3 months to learn a new offense and a new defense that normally I would have had 3 or 4 years too. So just being able to make those adjustments quickly helps me out overseas as well, because I already did it in college.
Could you touch on what specifically in terms of the game is different between here and overseas?
It's a much it's a lot more physical. It's a more physical game. Not too much freedom of movement calls, fouls that they call in the NBA. They bump, they chuck, they grab, they hold. And if you're a vet over there, you pretty much do whatever the hell you want to do. You can, yeah. I mean, once you got status in the league, once you've been playing in the league for multiple years, refs know who you are. They give you that respect. They let you. The top guys, they're not gonna foul out. Gonna, you know what I'm saying? Like you get that kind of those vet calls you get over there. And if you're an American, you're usually on a 1-year contract, so you're in a new country every year. You're not getting any of those calls. The refs don't know who you are, and quite really, they don't care who you are. You know, so you're not gonna get taken care of like that. And then it's a shorter game. NBA's 12-minute quarters. Overseas is 10-minute quarters. They don't call, like, there's no TV timeouts. They don't call a timeout every 2 minutes. If a team goes on a run, you got to play through it. Like, I've played full quarters where the only dead ball whistle has been for a foul out of bounds. So you'll play a full quarter without anyone calling a timeout. So the games are much faster. And that's why, I mean, I like watching EuroLeague better than the NBA sometimes because the games are so much faster paced. Like in the NBA, the last 7 seconds can take 20 minutes to play. That'll never happen overseas just because that's not their style, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So in your first season at Ammonia, man, you played great. You averaged 23.8 points per game. And you won the Newcomer of the Year award, and also you were selected first team All League and Import Team. I was watching your highlights, and I kept noticing that your downhill aggression when driving to the basket was elite. What part of your game do you really take pride in the most?
I think I take pride in my playmaking abilities the most. My first year, there was a lot of scoring, and then my second year, I think I was scoring too. I led the league in scoring, but I was one assist away from leading the league in scoring and assist. So just showing that I'm a playmaker is pretty much what I'm trying to do right now. And then the next step, obviously, is playmaking, leading the team, and doing the same thing on the defensive end, trying to make an all-defensive team. But, I mean, that was a big focus overseas was finishing at the rim. And I think that's where I improved the most on my game is finishing around the basket, floaters, layups, knowing when to pass, when to shoot if I get in too deep. And I think that not little improvement, but that small, like, little detail, like, really took me just over the edge in my first 2 seasons overseas, my finishing around the basket and decision-making.
Yeah, man. Well, that's a perfect segue because I was going to say, after a season at Ammonia, you joined – I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Is it Rogaška?
Rogaška.
So, which is a team in the Slovenian Basketball League. So – since being there, you've only gotten better. You earned first team All Slovenian League with 19.5 points per game, leading the league, and 6.5 assists per game, which you said was one assist shy of leading the league. So you finished second, and you won Guard of the Year and Scoring Champion. But what have you been working on this season to continually improve your game? And what do you maybe hope for year three going on with Rogaška?
This season was, you know, a focus on playmaking. So that's why you saw the assist numbers go way up. In the next season coming up, probably focus more on the same with playmaking, more assists, less turnovers. But when you play, you know, you play 40 minutes a game and you get 3 or 4 turnovers, it's 1 a quarter. It's not terrible. But if you're looking at pure stats, 3 or 4 assists, 3 or 4 turnovers a game isn't that great. But just improving in that area, even playing heavy minutes, still not turning the ball over that many times. And then on the defensive end, just showing, like, I have the ability to play defense because I did in college and I can. It's just not what's been asked of me. But going into this next year, that's something I'm going to have to – even if I have to go out of my way to show, like, I'm going to go out of my way to show it. I'll pick up the ball 94 feet, you know. If that means playing less minutes, then that means playing less minutes. But I'm just trying to showcase a different part of my game. First year was really about establishing myself. I showed I could score with anybody in the world. Second season, I showed I feel like I could play make with anybody in the world. And so now I just got to bring it all together and just kind of show the defensive side too. while doing all those things.
Absolutely, man. Well, it only takes one opportunity. We're going to take one quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to finish off with the lightning round. We'll be right back.
So, as I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge Tampa Bay Lightning fan. We're one win away from back-to-back Stanley Cups. So, in honor of the Tampa Bay Lightning, we're going to have a little lightning round today. It's pretty simple. We name two players, and David, you pick which one you'd rather have. First off, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul.
Russell Westbrook.
Prime Boogie Cousins or current Joel Embiid?
Boogie.
Klay Thompson or Ray Allen? Tough. It's a tough one, I know.
Klay's not done playing, but I'll take Ray Allen because Ray Allen used to do everything.
Yeah, on the Bucks and the Sonics, he was more than just a 3-point shooter, man. Steve Nash or Chris Paul?
Chris Paul.
All right.
Current LeBron or current Kevin Durant?
Oh, KD. Right now? KD. Oh.
Right now, yeah. Easy.
Okay. Easily.
Easy money sniper.
So
right now?
Yeah. So when do you think KD became the best player in the world?
I mean, LeBron still is the best player in the world, but right now, I'm taking KD.
But right now, you're taking
KD. Currently, it's still KD. Yeah. That's Kyrie or Dame time?
Kyrie. I'm a Kyrie guy.
And so we always ask everybody who comes on this podcast, when you were at Florida State, nightlife-wise, what was your favorite place to go out in Tallahassee?
Favorite place to go?
You can name more than one. You can name more than one.
Whatever you want, yeah.
I would just say, just in terms of this is a spot just where everybody got together and we were all together as a team and could stay together, Bajas. Not basing that off of the environment or nothing, but I just like enjoying my teammates. So I'm gonna say Bajas because that's the spot where we went together the most. So I'll say Bajas.
Bajas gets a bad rap. Bajas gets a bad rap, man. Stay away from the middle, where all the Latina girls are dancing, the freshman girls. Then you're fine. but other than that, man.
You can't beat that $100 table deal.
Yeah, honestly.
Cheapest tables in the world.
That's what I'm saying. It comes with a bottle. I mean, you can't say no to that. So to end it off, man, how do people find your website, BGU? How do they buy your apparel?
Easiest way is to go on Twitter, at the official BGU, and then everything's in the link. And I'm tweeting out almost every day. So, I mean, it's pretty much easy to follow anytime one of the former players and alumni, somebody on staff is wearing something, I'll tweet it out and I'll put the link under it, but it's always in the bio. We do giveaways. Sometimes we'll do like little challenge. We did the March Madness. We got literally hundreds of people playing against former players to see who had the best bracket. That was fun. Anytime I drop something new, I'll do a giveaway. That's the way to find it on Twitter. And then with the new rules, so be on the lookout for sure for special edition player shirts coming up soon. I know I was talking to Anthony Polite. He's probably going to be the first one. So be on the lookout for that and many more coming.
Have you reached out to any of – or have they reached out to you of any of the incoming freshmen coming in? Because we had Matthew Cleveland on, last week.
No, but I'll be in Tallahassee soon. I think I'm – going to be the 9th or the 10th. I should be there. Me, T-Man, Devin Booker. So a couple guys coming back soon. Going to be on campus. And so I'll probably meet those guys, connect with those guys, and go from there when I meet them in person,
Yeah, man, good stuff. So I went on the official BGU. I looked at the apparel, and I'm not doing this just because we had him on. It is good stuff. I'm going to get an order. I'm going to buy some of the apparel too. Dope hoodies, sure. Dope tees, dope caps that you can get, man. So go check that out. I'll put the link in our podcast and I'll post it on our Instagram. But yeah, let's just do these sign-offs. Thank you again, Aaron. Let's start with you, man. Thanks for coming on today.
Dude, David, thank you so much for coming on. Really enjoyed hearing your experiences, both FSU, Albany, and the EuroLeague. It's been our first EuroLeague player, so it's been very cool to hear about that. And wish you best of luck everything you do. If you're in Tallahassee in the fall for a game, hit us up. We're always down to hang out. So thanks again. Really appreciate it.
Just thank you guys for having me. I always love doing these, especially with younger guys. I mean, love what y'all are doing. You know, use that access to the players. Use y'all age. Use your youthfulness. Getting in the game early. I love it. I love it, honestly.
Appreciate it. Yeah, we started this because we just wanted to have or kind of know the ins and outs, the things that I guess the normal media isn't able to show the fans, you know, because we're your age. We're not 40, 50 years old trying to get access in. We're your age just trying to figure out what's going on. It's our school that we're rooting for, too, so it's perfect. It goes hand in hand. But Cam, thanks for coming on, too, man.
Yeah, thank you again, David. It was really cool to hear about the differences between, like, the EuroLeague and the NBA game that we watch all the time. And, yeah.
Yeah, and then finishing off, thank you again, David. Huge, thanks for coming on. We're probably going to hit up more FSU people. Give us a good word. Just keep getting this on, kind of just making sure that people who go to Florida State know that, you know, we cover this. If you like football, if you like baseball, if you like basketball, we're getting guests all play for FSU. Just thanks again, man.
Sure.
All right, so go visit the website www.lockitorleaveit.org. You'll see everything there. We'll keep posting stuff consistently, but until then, we will see you guys later. Peace.